Can you hear me? Or is it still? Okay. If you notice from the announcement that Pastor put up, it says that the launch is at 12:30, so I've got an hour. Nah, I'm not going to do that to you. I've got 1 hour, 45 minutes to preach, but no, I don't think so. Pastor said after the service, so whenever that is. So I promise, if you cooperate, if you laugh at my jokes, if you respond to what I say, then we'll be out of here in time. If not, I'll keep you till 12:30. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning, oh God. It's a day that you have made, and Lord, we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I just pray, Lord, even as I share this message, that every heart would receive the word of God this morning to cause change, to cause transformation, oh God. Lord, this message, as simple as it may be, would alter lives, oh God. Even, Lord, my own life as well would be altered through this message. And I just pray for receptive hearts, oh God, even as the word is shared and the word is preached. And I pray, Lord, even as I preach it, that I'll be less of myself, more of you. Lord, I'll be none of myself, but all of you, oh God. Let your glory fall in this room this morning, we pray. We ask and we believe in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Can we just quickly turn to Habakkuk? Habakkuk is before Zephaniah, and it's after Nahum. And I'm just going to read from chapter 2, sorry, and verse 2 to 3. Habakkuk, I think that's the way it's pronounced, right? Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. Are you there yet? Okay, let's read. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Amen. I guess for the newcomers and people who are new to this church, you see our mission statements, our vision statements on the wall. We do that to actually live out what it says in this scripture, that we're supposed to write the vision, write the mission statement of the church on tablets. Of course, we don't use tablets anymore. We now have fancy signs and paper and everything that we can use. And that's what we do. We put it all there so that you can know what we're about as a church. This one, the mission statement says, we make God-loving, Christ-like, and Spirit-empowered disciples. That is our goal as a church. And then, of course, the vision is to attain spiritual Mount Zion, to be carriers and impacters of God's manifest presence, his glory, and kingdom authority on earth. And of course, that's at the affiliation level. At the local level, to be a missions-oriented and prayerful church that touches God's heart, changes lives, and impacts nations for his glory. Amen. Now, I was thinking, as I was preparing this sermon, I remember an event that happened sometime last year. My wife and I bought some furniture from one of the very interesting, popular furniture shops. And it was rather large, so we couldn't take it home ourselves, so we had to pay some extra money to have it delivered to the house. So on the agreed date when the guys brought it, one of them came to the door, knocked, I've got a delivery for Nigel, blah, 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 how could I deliver it? Of course, because our house is in a funny shape, so you have to go around to the back where there's access through the garage to come in to deliver the equipment and deliver the furniture. So when he came around, the other guy that was in the truck came out with him, and they were both carrying the piece of furniture into the house. And as soon as the other guy walked in, because I'd already said hello to the guy who knocked on the door, I hadn't said hello to his other mate. So I just said, hey, how are you? And the guy said, I'm living the dream, mate, living the dream, mate. I'm like, you're what? He said he was living his dream. And I thought, wow, here you are on a Saturday or whatever day it was, hot afternoon, carrying a couch that is too heavy as far as I'm concerned. And you say you're living the dream. But then I stopped and I thought, wow, maybe he is living his dream. Maybe he's living something that he aspired to be. I mean, the guy had a few tattoos on his... I'm not despising that. I'm just saying he probably has been struggling with issues. Probably he's never earned a living in his life before. But now he's telling me he's living his dream. And I thought he might well be. And thank God for him. And, you know, I thought to myself, okay, let me calculate how much we paid these guys. Probably about $80 for that delivery. If they had about 6 or 7 more that day, he can easily be living his dream. Yes or no? For me, I didn't think it was a dream because it was a hot day and they were carrying this thing, they were struggling and all that. But to him, he was living the dream. My question to everybody is, what are your dreams? What are your visions? What are your goals? What has God told you in the past that he wants you to achieve in your life as a Christian? What are the things that he has placed on your heart that he wants you to do for his glory? What are the aspirations that you have? You know, from this scripture, we read that, I mean, if you read the whole chapter, if you read from chapter 1 to chapter 2, chapter 3, Habakkuk was going through a very distressing time as a prophet. He was seeing a lot of calamity happening around him, and he was asking, where are you, Lord? What's going on? Why are things happening? And the Lord spoke to him. It was like, I see the Lord finally spoke to him in that verse 2 and said, the Lord answered him and said, write the vision. What I'm going to show you, what is happening, write it down so that those who see it will run with it. Now, my message is simple. If the Lord has ever told you anything, has the Lord promised you anything, has the Lord ever, you know, spoken through the pastors, through visiting preachers, through people around you that he wants to do this, this, this in your life, always write it down if you can. If you have a journal or a piece of paper or a computer or an iPad or an iPhone or whatever it is you use, write it down and make sure when you upgrade your devices, the notes go with you as well. So that you can always refer back. When things are hard, when there's trials facing you on your left and on your right, you can always refer to those dreams, to those goals that God has given you. And we need to always do this. Write down your dreams and visions. Write down your goals. Document what people have told you. Or document what God has told you himself. Because I tell you, the way it starts is you're in prayer. You see a need or you see a problem that is facing maybe somebody in your family. And the Lord says, I am going to heal that person. And you write it down. The Lord says he's going to heal that person. You put a date. You put a time. And, you know, you keep referring back to that experience that you had with God when he promised to do what he said he was going to do. And, you know, that acts as a reminder to spur you on, to encourage you, to make you just continue to run. Like it says in the scripture that so that those who see it, right, it says in verse 2, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. And yes, he or she who reads it will run with it. They would wait for it. They will continue to believe God for it to come to pass. You know, thankfully, we have the Word of God, which in a lot of it was God's visions, God's dreams for us as people, and people took time to document it. And, you know, I always ask myself, do we document whatever we're doing today? It's a question. So do we? Does anybody document what we're doing today? I know we've got Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and all these things that now Facebook reminds you of something you said 2 years ago. It's interesting, but it's a documentation of what you have done. I think maybe when we have left the side of earth to go to heaven in like maybe 5-6 generations from now, if those records are still there, people would look at the Facebook post that you put there, and what was he talking about? What's wrong with him? You know, but thank God that we have the documented Word of God, that we have people who actually wrote down. I mean, like the whole of Revelation was God speaking to John, and he documented everything, and it was like, wow, powerful stuff that we refer to. I mean, even though as complicated as the book of Revelation is, but it is there for our admonition. Every single book in the Bible is about documenting what God had told the people. Likewise, we as believers. And I say this especially to the young folk, to the very young. If you're less than 40, then I consider you as young. right? You have a lot ahead of you. I always tell people your best days are ahead of you. And I'm not despising those who are 60 and above. Please don't start throwing things at me now. I'm not despising that. Every one of us, regardless of how old you are, God can still make you achieve your dreams and your aspirations in life. Amen. I mean, we hear about the story of the guy who started KFC. I think he was 60 plus when he started KFC. And as bad as some of you might think KFC is, as bad as you think it is nutritionally, what I was reading in a paper about 3 or 4 weeks ago, that because of the industrial revolution that was taking place in America, where women were not stay-at-home moms anymore, they were beginning to work. So he designed this recipe that was similar to a mother's cooking of chicken, so that mothers on their way back from work would just go in there, pick up the chicken, take it home, and serve it as a meal. He was meeting a need. And he did that at 60 plus. So even the older folk, there's hope for you. Amen. And I mean, I'm above 40, so I'm referring to myself as well. Now, but you younger folk, honestly, and I say this to tell you this. I remember watching 3 weeks ago, my wife and I, the whole family, were watching the Winter Olympics. And some guy there won a medal or something, and the Channel 7 commentator was making a reference to the fact that he had a goal written on the ceiling of his room. So when he was lying down, he always saw it. I think he had the Olympic logo, and he said, "I will win a medal or something." Sorry? He was 9 years old when he wrote that. Can you imagine a 9-year-old kid wrote that and stuck it to the ceiling of his bed so that every morning when he woke up, that's what he saw. And he won a medal. So you tell me, isn't that, I mean, I don't know if he's a Christian, I don't know if he knows God, I don't know if he's a believer or whatever, but even the world practices that, they write things out, they say, write your goals down, make them achievable. Say, I want to lose weight. Sorry, why am I always referring? I said I wasn't going to say that. Say, I want to lose weight by this time next year. I want to lose 20 kilos. I want to lose 30 kilos or whatever it is. But write it down and let that be your goal. So that when you see it every day, you tell yourself, yes, I must. So when I see that chicken, when I see all the food that is out there, I'll say, no, thank you. It's okay. I've had enough. I'm going to pass today. But it's all about running after what God has told you. Now, I say this to the young folk because I'm saying it to the young folk again. You guys have a lot ahead of you. And it's easy in this world that we live in to just live aimlessly, if I may put it that way. To just say, yeah, they said I should go to school. Yeah, they said I should come out of school, get a job. Yeah, they said I should get a rental property. Yeah, then they say I should get married. And then you don't know who to marry. You don't know what. You know, so many things. I mean, I'll tell you this, and Pastor can correct me if I'm wrong. Pray about who you think God should send your way. Pray about who you think you should marry. And if possible, just document it. Write down, not the qualities, but the person must be Christ-like, must be God-loving, Spirit-empowered. You know, those kind of goals. So that if somebody who doesn't match that comes your way, you say, it doesn't match the bill. It doesn't match the goal that you have. And you know, some people write, oh, you must have a job, you must have a house, you must have a car, you must this, this, this. Yeah, those things do matter, but at the same time, I think as believers, especially the young ones in this room, he must be a child of God. He must be somebody who really loves God and who has a desire to see God do things in his life and in the lives of people around him. Amen. And I say this because my wife actually reminded me a couple of times last year. I think I must have been 20 or 21 then. We were boyfriend and girlfriend then. And I just got saved 2 years before, and I was so excited about what God does, and I was so excited about what he's doing. And, you know, and I wrote out, I got praying, and there were some things that I saw in the body of Christ that I felt, oh, I must change. One thing that was so strong back then was whenever we went for Christian meetings back in Nigeria, they always had horrible sound problems, audio problems. I'm telling you, if a Nigerian church was to use this venue back home, they would think, wow, this is the best they can ever get. You don't hear a squeak, you don't hear a noise, it's just perfect. And, you know, I wrote on a piece of paper, my wife and I wrote that one of my goals is to run an audio outfit sometime in the future so that I can help the body of Christ or Africans or whoever it is to run good audio for their church service. So that, because the Bible says that you must preach the gospel, which means people must hear it. And if the sound system is not good, they're not going to be able to hear it. And, you know, we used to have fellowship in like, tennis courts where one guy would be preaching to about 80 people and there's one speaker there. And the speaker is, you know, it just wasn't fun. And so I had that dream and I wrote this down over 20 years ago. And, okay, fine. I went to audio school. That was back in Singapore, like 24 years ago. And after that, I did nothing. I was a musician in church. I played, was leading worship and all that. And then along came this guy who came to meet us here in Perth and said, oh, he wanted to have a birthday party and he wanted a DJ to play some Christian music for him and all that. I thought, well, okay, I can do that. And I thought, oh, maybe I should just go and rent a couple of speakers and put it there and set it up for him. And the guy said, no, don't rent. Why don't you go and buy it? Because I see you have a passion for music. You know, you should do this thing. And I'm like, I don't think so. But I thought about it and I prayed about it. And I think my wife then reminded me, remember you wrote this thing down about audio? And I thought, yeah, I did actually. And so I bought the speakers, did the party. And the next thing I knew, some Nigerian churches that are here in Perth started asking me to come and provide sound for their events where they had like a combined group of churches. And it went from churches to, and I mean, just this year alone, I've done 3 events for some African, I did a Congolese one. They were singing the songs in languages that I don't even understand. I did another Nigerian brother and I think a Zimbabwean sister as well. And, you know, I've been doing that to bless the body of Christ. And I look back and I say, wow, I wrote that dream as a 20-year-old. It took 20 plus years for that dream to be accomplished. But like the Bible says, even though it tarries, even though it takes so long, it will still come to pass. So I say, don't doubt the power of your goals or of your dreams, of your aspirations. And, you know, young people, please. I was 20 when I wrote that dream. I'm 40, whatever now. And I am living my dream. But I tell you, there's still a lot of other dreams that I've written down that I have not even come close. And I blame myself for not doing that because probably I haven't spent too much time in prayer. I've not even gone back to look at those dreams that I wrote. Even the one that my wife and I put together back then, I don't even know where the piece of paper is because it was back in Nigeria. But I remember what was written on it. That's an interesting thing because we wrote it down. We actually took it to a business center to get them to type it out on a computer paper, which was special back in those days. Because of that, I remember everything that was written on it and even the names of the businesses that I set up. Even though the business that I'm running now is not the same name, but the vision is still the vision. Amen? And I say this, young people, please, when you leave here today, spend time in prayer. Ask the Lord, what are your dreams? Is it to be a much more anointed worship leader? Is it to be an anointed keyboardist? Is it to be someone who can sit down next to a 90-year-old man, share a few words and the man gets saved? You know, you could be someone who just knows how to spot needs here and there, whatever it is that the Lord places on your heart. And I say this because I don't want to see the way, I mean, if you look out in the world, people are just going, they have no direction. They're just going, they're just living life. Yeah, let's go to work, earn a living, party on Friday, party on Saturday, and then sleep over it on Sunday and then go back to work Monday, and they're just going through the motions like that. But we as children of God, we have different dreams. And I know even this church has a dream. We pray in this church, and I'm going to continue to pray, and in Jesus' name we will see it. That people will walk through those doors who are deaf and their ears will be opened. Amen. People will walk into the doors of this church with cancer and the cancer will be healed in the name of Jesus. It's not too hard to believe. That's what our God has promised. He says he's given us the authority that we will speak healing in his name and people will be healed. You know, people who come in here lame will walk out of here excellently healed. It is not too difficult to believe. It's not too hard to believe. And we continue to just run after these dreams. And that's one thing I tell. And that's one thing that has been resounding in my ears a lot about, especially the youth. For instance, some of you have exams this year, your final year 12 or your year 12 exams and some of you in university and all that, when you write the dreams of what kind of marks you want to achieve or what kind of goals you want to achieve or that you want to be a doctor, don't just write the dream and then sit down and watch. Because I wrote the dream, it's going to happen. No. The Bible says run. Amen? Run. Whatever it means to run, it means chase the dream. Study your courses. Read your books. Attend your tuition classes or tutorials. Go to lectures. Whatever it is, submit your assignments in time. Spend time walking towards achieving your dream. I was reading something with regards to business training because I'm in business and I'm always trying to find out how can I make myself a better businessman. They'll tell you write down your dreams for your business on a piece of paper. Some people tell you even to write it down every day so that even as things change, you align your dreams that way. And they said spend 10 minutes every day on every part of your dreams trying to achieve that dream. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. So if you're saying you want to get more clients, spend 10 minutes trying to see how you're going to get more clients, how to pick up the phone to call them. Same thing with your dreams. If you say you want to become an anointed worship leader, spend 10 minutes at least in prayer or in saying, Lord, I want your anointing. I want more of your power. I want more of your glory to use it for the blessings of the people of God. Amen. And it's not difficult. It's not difficult to achieve. You know, one guy that we read in the Bible, he had a, would you call it a dream or a goal? I guess God gave him that dream, and it was Joseph. All of you know the story of Joseph, how he had a dream that, I think it was 12 or 13 sheaves or something like that, they all came and bowed down to him, basically. That was the gist of the story. And Joseph and people call him a big mouth, but in a way I look at it and say, he had a dream. He told them what his dream was to say, look, this is what I got in a dream. He definitely got the dream from God because later on we saw that that dream was fulfilled. Of course, maybe the way he told them, he was a bit brash or probably rude or whatever it is. But, you know, people always say when they read about that story that maybe Joseph shouldn't have opened his mouth. But if you look at the whole story, if he hadn't opened his mouth and told his brothers and his father about the dream, all those events may not have come to pass the way they did. It's a very interesting one. But he did that. He went and told his brothers that they would come and bow down to him. Well, he told them what the dream was. And then, of course, they interpreted it to mean that, which in the end, it came to pass. And so like Joseph, young as he was at that time, a little, in a way, naughty boy, because he always used to tell against his brothers, which I don't think was very smart of him. But he got sold into slavery and his dream. He probably just kept that dream at the back of his head and kept on living a holy life. And we know even when, I think it was Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, he resisted and he said, I will not sin against my God. I'm sure he still had that dream at the back of his head until finally his brothers actually came begging for food where he was the prime minister and they came and bowed down before him. The very dream that was despised. And I say this especially to the parents of young people. Don't despise the goals that some of your kids have. Don't despise their dreams. Don't despise whatever it is that they say that they want to achieve. And I say this to the young people also. Make sure you get those dreams in prayer. Okay? I mean, make sure you get them in prayer. Make sure you seek the face of God to get him to tell you what he wants you to achieve in life. And you do that. And you know, like Pastor was praying, and a very easy way to do that is like Pastor was preaching last week, rather, about praying in tongues. That's a good way to start. If you don't even know where to start or how to ask God, just spend time praying in the Spirit. Just spend time praying in tongues and just developing that prayer language that God has given us. The Bible says that he who prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Which you lift yourself towards God and you're more sensitive to what the Spirit of God is saying. And even as you continue to pray in the Spirit, God would drop little hints here and there. I mean, some people, when they receive from God, it's like God is standing right next to them. Some other people, and I think like me, it's just a thought. And I think, oh, okay. Some people, it's, you know, the pastor preaches something, they go home, their mother shares something, and it's all the same scripture every time. And bang, they just say, yeah, God is speaking to me in this area. Whichever way it is, I just beseech you, especially young people, please just take time out. Don't despise your youth. Don't say, oh, but I'm only 16. What can I be achieving? No. Don't say that. Don't say that. I mean, I shared with you the 9-year-old guy who said he was going to win a medal. I mean, this is somebody who hadn't even qualified, hadn't done anything, and he achieved that dream. So likewise, let us spend time in prayer. And you know, like Pastor also shared last week that we're going to have the prayer and fasting in church. And I say everybody should please take part in that. Everybody. Because as the body of Christ, if we fast and we pray like it says we should do in the Bible, He would hear us from heaven. That's what the Word of God says. The Bible says He will forgive our land. That's right, He will forgive our sins and He will heal our land. Amen. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, that's what fasting does to you. It humbles you. We turn away from our wicked ways. We seek His face. He has promised He will hear us. And as a church, we must do that. And I'm sure none of us will ever be the same again after we go through that exercise of fasting and prayer. And you know, that's why we're having a feast today. So that we can turn around and say we're going to fast. Amen. You know, when the leadership was trying to decide which day to do it, it was interesting because Pastor had talked about the fasting week and all that. So we were trying to say, oh, when should we do this? When should we organize this? And then we thought, oh, we're going to have this lunch. So Pastor said, fine, we'll just put the lunch before and then have the feast first and then the fast afterwards. And there's time for everything. There's time to pray. There's time to be joyful, to be mournful, to feast and to fast as well. And, you know, I shouldn't be preaching the service sermon about fasting. Pastor is going to do that. Sorry, let me not steal his thunder. But young people, please don't say, oh, it's only for the old people. All of you must take part in that fasting and praying session. Even if it means fast one meal or fast two meals, whatever it is. But let God use that time to break open things, to break open the fallow ground, to let His glory come down. Because I just believe that there's something that the Lord wants to do in this church. That is not going to be business as usual anymore. That His anointing will come like never before. Amen. It's what He has promised us in His word. It's what He said that we will achieve. That's the goal. That's the goal. I mean, when we talk about Spirit-empowered disciples, it doesn't mean that it's only Pastor Philip and Pastor Irene that can pray for the sick and they will be healed. I should be able to get even, what's my little friend, Ella, to come and pray for her classmates in school and they get healed like that. When everybody is of the same spirit, believing the same God, that He is able. And I say this to everyone, you might be here, you've had dreams and visions, and you know, maybe when you got saved, you said you were going to go and change the whole world, you were going to go to Africa and going to preach the good news, but you never went. Don't worry, let me come and see me, I'll take you to Africa one of these days. It's never too late. I'm telling you this seriously, it's never too late. Don't ever look down on yourself and say, my time has passed or my time has gone. I don't think so. I'm 40 plus and I always tell myself, I look at myself and I say, my goodness, what have I done? What have I achieved over the years? But the Lord always reminds me that, look, in one day He can change things around. And we all need to just trust Him for that and depend on Him to do that because He is God. He's promised in His word in Joel chapter 2, verse 27, that it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Amen. The Lord is going to give us life-changing visions. And we need to just hold this closely to our hearts and pray about them and see them come to pass in our lives. And I say this, young people again, because I got young kids in my house as well. And I always tell them, write down whatever you want to achieve. Tell me what you want to achieve this year in your HR results or in school or whatever. Be the best that you can be wherever God has called you to be. And you give Him the glory. You give Him the glory. I mean, whenever... It's interesting, whenever any of these popular people win an award, the good ones always say, I thank God and I thank my mom and my dad. That's a testimony in itself. When you acknowledge that God has helped you to get to where you are or get to what you have achieved, it's a good place to start as a child of God. Let God be your defining factor to achieve those dreams. And in closing, I say it, when you get home, young folk, old folk as well, please don't be despised by your age or anything. Get home and write down all these dreams and write down your visions and write down if it means, yeah, I'm going to be a lawyer and I want to walk in this place, whatever it is that God has placed in your heart. And of course, prayerfully consider it. Prayerfully consider who you want to get married to. That is so important, I tell you. Thank God I married somebody who is a Christian. Can you imagine if I was a Christian, my girlfriend at that time was not a Christian. I can't even share that vision with her. I can't even share that vision with the person. Because, geez, what are you, okay, right, you're writing that, all right, that's fine. But as a Christian, you believe God together, you walk the road together. There's some things that I'm even doing now that my wife reminds me, hey, we wrote that down, remember? I'm like, oh, okay, we did. Goldfish memory. But she reminds me and says, oh, we actually wrote that down years ago and you said we were going to do this and it's now coming to pass slowly. And I'm like, yeah, praise God, it is. And that's another thing. When you write down your goals, share it with your husband and your wife for the older folk. And of course, when the younger folk, when you write your dreams and visions, the minute you find a good partner, one that is God-loving, Christ-like, you share it with them as well and say, this is the goals and these are my dreams. I plan to go to Africa for 10 years to preach the gospel. And then after that, then we can get married and the guy will look at you and say, I'm sorry. No, he won't do that. Amen. But please, you get what I'm trying to say. And I cannot overemphasize this, but I just say this by God's grace that we would all achieve our dreams. And you know, and another thing, young people, when you have these dreams, if there are dreams or goals that might be questionable, a good test is to come and see Pastor Philip or Pastor Irene. To go through your dreams and say, okay, fine, this one, okay. You know, whatever it is. Some of you might say, Lord, I feel I'm going to be the pastor of this church down the line. That's not a bad dream to have. Well, everybody's looking away when I looked at them. It's not a bad dream to have. Because after a while, Pastor Philip would have to, I would have to retire. Then somebody else would have to take over the baton. And we're praying that the generation that we're bringing up now will be from inside here. Amen. You know, and I'll say this in closing. I remember when I got saved on campus, the same campus that I met my wife. And I think I've shared this before. The choir that was, basically they had organized a believers conference. And I was not a believer, but I attended it because everybody was going there. I thought, ah, come on, this must be good, everybody's going. And I sat down there in the audience, and the choir came on to sing the first anthem, which was just like the anthem to start the conference. And you know, they started singing that anthem. And as soon as they started singing it, I just felt this warmth in my heart. And I almost broke out in tears because I just felt, Lord, this has got to be you. And that was how I got saved. Nobody preached any sermon, nobody. And that's where I also knew the power of worship and of music. It's so powerful. It just melted me right then. I just thought, you know, it was a believers conference. So there was no altar call for at least 5 days. And I was like, what's wrong with this? Aren't they going to have an altar call so I can run out? But they didn't. And I went there every day. No altar call. When they finally gave an altar call for those who wanted to pray in the spirit, to speak in tongues, that's when I went out. I'm like, okay, fine. And I'll tell the guy I'm not saved yet so they can pray for me. But that's when I went out because there was no other altar call. And, you know, that was the power of worship and of music. And, you know, it was a week-long event. It started on Monday, finished on Sunday. At the closing of the conference, it was on campus, so that's why we could do it for 7 days. And on the closing of the conference, on the last day, I was standing watching the choir singing. And the Lord told me, you're going to be singing in our choir next year. And I thought, okay. And I said, okay, amen. And truly, truly, same time the following year, I was in the choir. And you know, to me that was a big thing because that meant my friends didn't influence me wrongly. I didn't backslide. I kept the faith. And you know, I've seen God move ever since then. And that to me was like a vision. When God said, I'm going to be in that choir, and I was in that choir. And so, anything that the Lord tells you, you could be, you know, you see a job advertisement and say, I would like to work for that company. I would really like to work for that company. And the Lord says, yeah, you can go and work in that company. And then you get the job. You know, whatever it is that God may place in your heart or that he may give you that challenge to run after or to chase. And, you know, sometimes the goals are not also easily attainable. That's one thing I noticed. Sometimes your goals are beyond you. It's things that would be that you think, in my own strength, I don't think I'll be able to do that. But that's the reason why you then need God's help to achieve that goal or to achieve that dream or that vision. So, in closing, I asked Pastor Philip that this morning. I just felt led to get all the young folk out, including the musicians, to just come out. If you're not 40 yet, please come out. And Pastor Philip is just going to pray for you. Pastor Philip and Pastor Irene are going to pray for you that God's dreams, God's vision for your life will come to pass. And honestly, if you're above 40 and you feel led to come out as well, don't be shy. I just feel this burden for the young folk in this church, for the younger ones to come out and just receive from God. And everybody, even if you're serving behind, everybody just come out and let God just touch you. Let God minister something. I mean, just by the laying on of hands, God is just going to start speaking to you softly. And whatever he tells you, please write it down. Share it with your parents. Share it with your life group. Share it with your friends. And, you know, some of them might be personal stuff. Maybe you don't share those ones. But whatever it is, just take time out to listen to God and let him lead and guide you. In Jesus' name, amen.